You know what I mean? It's like she was playing Chubby Bunny, but with her vagina. Oh, we're live. Hi, everybody. Welcome to Keith and the Girl. I'm Keith Malley.
I'm Chemda. Thanks for being a listener.
My stand-up is written.
I have read said stand-up. This year is going to be fucking impressive. I don't know if everybody knows this. This is the first year that you're sober, the first year that you're divorced, the first year that you've accepted my potheadness. More on that during the stand-up.
Nothing is taking up my time. Not chicks, not Budweiser. It's going to be a show. KeithandTheGirl.com/tickets. It's my 15th yearly special. I'm very, very excited. Like Kenda said, we got a little divorce here, a little quitting drinking there, right? Some dating with a pinch of gun control. Keith and the Girl weekend is where it's at. And you can get a ticket now, a super pass, for everything that's going on for under $100.
It's early bird pricing, so get it now. If you're planning on coming anyway, get them at the early bird prices.
Game night.
We just got the ugliest fucking look from our guest because of our prices, which I like. I like that he's mad at us for underpricing.
Right. Game night, a live Keith and the Girl show, the You Can't Say That game show, exclusive t-shirt. That includes, of course, my stand-up, all for $100, $90 even. And, of course, each day is priced individually, if you want to go that route. And
by the way, the $90 one, that includes the t-shirt.
Yes.
The other one is even cheaper. I know, Jared, I know.
Yeah, Jared's angry. And I don't blame him. Also, I'll be performing stand-up in L.A. See all the dates and tickets at keithandthegirl.com/tickets. All right, today's guest, host of the J Train podcast. Come to, and I haven't been on it more than once. It's very, very fun. And featured on True TV's NFL Full Contact, MTV's Failosophy, Jared Fried.
Such a pleasure to be here. You're not charging nearly enough. Insanity.
I love that.
$90. Are you serious? And a t-shirt. Yeah. And they're going to get one of those fun badges.
Yeah, I love the badges. Right?
Yes. The laminated pass that goes around your neck. Aren't they going to get one of those?
Yes, yes. And look behind you for game night. That is our custom-made cornhole.
Oh, my God. You're speaking straight to my soul.
Right? The bean bags have our logo on it.
The logo.
I love you,
Jared.
That's
beautiful.
I love it. I love people who play along with me.
I'm not playing along. This is okay. Something that I love. I like the logo, everything. It's great.
I love it. I genuinely am in love with this cornhole game. We'll post pictures on the website, but definitely
very cool.
See it in person. Again, keithandthegirl.com/tickets.
A whole weekend.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Yeah. That's great. Where is it at? Let's get some more info.
It's in Brooklyn. There's a couple different places. Of course, all the details are at keithandthegirl.com/tickets.
How's your life, Jared? Thank you. I do appreciate it. But let's talk about you.
Keith, I didn't even know you were not drinking. I could see it. Your face has not drinking color to it.
Thank you. Is that
it's a good thing. You have life.
All right.
Not that you didn't have life before, but I do say when you said you wasn't drinking, I was like, I can see it in your face.
We should test before I say something like that, before I leak your information to guests that we haven't seen in a while. I should go, hey, Jared, look at Keith's face. What do you see?
What do you think?
Yeah.
I would say there was a glow.
All right.
A glow. Yeah, you can see it. How's it?
And then we put up a poll. Is he pregnant or stopped drinking?
Yeah. It's one or the other.
It's going
How's
all right.
the dating going? How's it being back in the scene? Are you enjoying it? Is it weird?
It's weird's the word.
Yeah.
But it's fun.
Of course.
I'm seeing somebody now, but I like where it's at, which it's fun sex. It makes me know that, hey, I am good at it.
Uh-huh.
And
you're hitting doubles on a nightly basis.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And
I know that feeling.
Hey, Andrea, you want to chat real quick while they do this?
But
weird
do you know
thing?
What I mean? Like, I you do. Get like a little bit into sex with someone. Like, you're not in that first sex where it's like, oh my God, it could be anything right now.
Right.
I could get shelled. You know, and like, this could be a bad night for me. I'm in the corner apologizing 50 times. Never happens. Sure, never happens. And then, then you get like a month in with someone and it's funny the way you explain it. You're like, I'm in a happy zone. Like, you're not allowed to call it dating. You're not allowed to call it nothing. If she heard, she'd be okay with the title you just gave it. I totally understand. I've been there. Some could say I'm there right now. And especially being on a podcast, talk about your dating life. That's a tough thing, but we're all kind of doing this. Even if you're not on a podcast, you got to say, we're talking,
right.
We're seeing, we're fucking, but we're, you know, just hanging out.
It's interesting when, you know, things have been added. It used to be we're dating, we're courting, yep. we're married, yep, right?
Absolutely.
Like, we're engaged, we're married. Now, I remember when the switch happened, I'm seeing this person. Mm-hmm. And we had to get used to, like, you're seeing their genitalia is what you're saying, you know? Then it was, I'm talking to this person.
Talking to is a fun one.
Like
yeah.
the penis is a microphone. I'm talking to it, you know?
Screaming right into
it. Yeah, yeah. I'm talking to it so much. It gets super excited. And then like,
yeah, you know?
We talked last night twice.
Good for you.
And then once in the morning.
Look at you. Didn't lose that fire in the belly. No, I like that.
I tell you, I couldn't tell you that. And I've had sex with somebody else after my divorce, but I couldn't tell you how happy I was that sex was good. After the divorce, because obviously it's been some time, and I'm just like, I knew it.
Yeah,
I knew I could still do this.
Well, the sex in the marriage, I'm assuming there's like, you know, if you're getting a divorce, there's right. a period of time where you're not having sex.
Correct.
Was sex mechanical for the relationship? Did you feel like
at the very end there was none?
There was none.
Yeah.
I don't understand how that happens. Like, I know that's like such a naive, like, single guy thing to ask, but like, I always wonder, like,
well,
isn't there a moment where you just look across the room and you're like, we should be fucking?
I think there is, but first we should, you know, resolve the fight about the dishes that we had earlier. First, yeah. like, I should probably make you not mad at me before we go to bed. First, all of a sudden, you know, our show didn't go up, so Keith's on the computer at 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. instead of fucking. So it's like, did he give that up? Like, I feel like you know, okay, I'm not good at cleaning my room.
Okay.
So, but I see the shit on the floor.
Sure.
You know, and I'm just like walking by it.
Yeah, I guess
I could pick it up and then my room would be clear. But if I pick up this one, the rest of the room is still dirty.
And now it's a day. I got to clean the whole room.
Next thing you know, you didn't solve something, but you're like an asshole. You see where she's going.
Oh, I've been there a million times. If I had a nickel for every asshole I've licked, I have a lot of nickels.
You're also having really boring conversations that, you know, you didn't put this in your vows. Like, I vow if you're not making enough money by the end of the month and we can't pay rent because of you, that, you know, we're still going to have sex somehow.
Oh, my God. I just got sweaty.
I vow that if, you know, you're not hanging out with me and you're working so much that I don't even get to see you, how do I approach this with my genitalia when we haven't, you know, said hello in a while? I don't know.
Like, I guess the closer you get, the more, you know, there's just more to deal with.
Yeah.
More shit to
have to do our taxes and then sex.
And then and then we'll fuck. Yeah.
Should we do the sex before? Let's schedule it.
Yeah. I'm in that, like, I get to that fun part of a relationship a lot where you're at, where you're like, this is great. We're having fun sex and there's nothing else to talk about but sex and other people, you know? And I guess there's a point where it becomes about you guys. Like, you got to be like, okay, well, let's unpack this thing.
Well, what did make me nervous?
Okay.
Is that when we do have sex, she stays overnight, which obviously I'm fine with.
Okay.
She left a toothbrush, the proverbial toothbrush.
The real one.
Which is also physical and literal.
Yeah.
And that's fine that there is a toothbrush there for you.
Interesting.
But interesting that I saw it there the next day, as opposed to, I bought a brush. Do you care if I leave it here?
Well, I've been thinking about this a lot lately.
Okay.
I think a lot of times what people do now, they mentally move in. They don't really physically move in. Like, the toothbrush is like the age old.
Yep.
This is me inserting myself into your life and in your habitat. But I think a lot of times right now these days, it's a lot of people that are going, yeah, I told my friend we're seeing each other. And that's a moment where you can either go, what? Or you can keep fucking. Right. Well, you know what I mean? Like, if you can, you either start a fight or you don't. And when you don't start a fight, you're basically signing the contract of seeing each other. And that seems to be the way that people are trying to get in relationship these days. They're trying to just get like a number, like very miniature contract signings.
Yeah.
You know, where it's like, I told my friends we were seeing each other. Oh yeah, I mentioned you to my mom the other day.
Yeah.
And then just waiting for you to like, are you going to say anything?
Right.
No, okay.
I feel like that's kind of always been the case. But yeah, it's weird because we're so used to texting each other that there's so many forms of communication. Like,
sure.
I posted a picture of us on Instagram. We were obviously dating, you know, that's a move. That's a move now. I remember when I was first dating my husband, this was 9 years ago. Mm-hmm. So obviously things have changed, but I did want to leave my toothbrush and my hair junk.
Yeah.
Because clearly every time I see you, my hair gets messed up and my teeth get fucked up. So let's
not to brag.
Yeah. Let's be honest. My mouth needs a rinsing after I look at you. So I was like, you know what? If it's, because this is a move, right? So yeah. I was dropping him off one time and we were done with whatever we were doing. And I go, look, these two items I'm leaving here. You could do whatever you want with them, put them wherever you want, hide them from other bitches. I don't care. But
yeah, but that's such what you just said is so hilarious to me.
Right. I have a drawer
hide
now.
Them from other bitches. Okay, that's what I'll do. As if he could like look at you and go, yeah, I just, like if you came back the next week and it was in a different spot, you'd be like, why'd you move this? Well, there were other women over.
I would be. So
you would have been angry.
I wouldn't have.
You wouldn't have been angry?
I would not have, because when I'm not monogamous, I'm sincerely not monogamous.
Okay, I'm saying that's a very special type of person that you are. Because I'm saying
let's all aim to be special.
I agree. I mean, I would love that. But I do think that there's a lot of like, yeah, I'm just doing this for ease of my life. Yeah. That's also the underwritten statement is, yeah, this is to make it easy. And yeah, I'm the one you're fucking right now.
For me, it was really like, I can't stand my breath in the morning.
Sure.
I can't deal with this. And also, like, I just need to put a little mousse in my hair so I can look like a normal human being, because we're doing normal, friendly things together. I'm not asking for a drawer. I gotta do that.
I agree with it. I just know that, like, I get put in positions so much where it's like, yeah, this is a mechanical thing. Right. And then you're like, well, there's emotion attached. We don't live this thing in a vacuum.
No, I don't like if people pretend like a toothbrush is nothing, yes. Then why are we having a full grown-up conversation about a toothbrush? Let's not pretend.
Well, but people are afraid of getting their feelings hurt.
Well, so, then I can't put my penis inside of you anymore because you're afraid of a lot of... I mean, if you're afraid of my toothbrush, I don't know what to do with your ass.
Well, this is fair. I just think a lot of people, instead of saying, hey, are you fucking anyone else? They just go, let me see if this toothbrush moves. Yeah. it's a lot easier to be that than the other, right? Sure. Oh, why'd this move? Well, I moved it.
I have a drawer now of toothbrushes.
Okay. Just all
and an Excel spreadsheet on what color goes what color. With who. And she put the and I tried to stop this right away. She put the toothbrush to the on the left side of the sink and I said, ooh, that's Amy's spot.
Yeah.
If you don't mind.
Amy isn't gonna like that.
Right.
She's really used to that spot. Where you're at is a fun and also like
what's happening with the toothbrush? Does it remain fun after the toothbrush?
Well, what I'm saying is
he ignores it until it becomes a huge
Of course.
Issue.
I learned nothing. So if she would have said, hey, I'm going to leave this toothbrush. Do you care? Then I could easily say, no, of course not. Just to be clear, I really like whatever this means, where things are right now.
Yes.
Now, but it's not necessarily too late for that conversation. It just could have happened already.
It's too late. It's absolutely too late. Because but this is what I'm talking about. These are these small tests where it's like, they're like, like waiting for you to say something. And then the minute you let that little like snap of time go by, all right, we're on to the next mini level of this relationship.
Now I know
is
that-
it cool if I leave the toothbrush? And then you have, yeah, it's cool. 3, 2, 1, next level. You're already up. There it is. You're done. You're on toothbrush land. You've moved on. The train has left the station. You're at the next stop.
So here's the thing. Like, we're talking a lot about recently about consent, and obviously that's bedroom stuff. Everything seems to be copacetic in that vicinity. But I feel like
I have a full contract for the boobs, another contract for the vagina. I have a lot of pens going pen to paper in my bedroom.
Do you have a separate one for your hands and mouth
yes,
and your dick?
All of
okay. A
lot of paperwork to have sex with me right now.
Great. So you can never accuse me of anything. So great. But I think I think this all stems from a similar vibe of that we can do all the nasty, dirty, fun things with each other. We can watch other people do that. Porn is the number one watch thing on the internet, but we can't have a conversation about sex and not about the stuff that's around sex, not about the toothbrush, not about what is seeing to you, what is talking to you, what is, you know, a relationship to you. Can we stay in this place? Why are we not having those conversations?
You know why? Because it's selfish. It's not about, I think we're preserving our own.
I think it's white lies. I think we have adjusted from our parents that they white lied to each other and everyone felt uncomfortable about it. Mm. And, you know, eventually it blows up because it's like, well, I thought you were this way. Well, that's because I was white lying to you so that we can stay copacetic. Yeah. We could stay good. So I think this is all part of it. We have been taught to lie to each other in order to maintain this like nice groove until things blow up.
Yeah. I mean, but there's something to be said for that too. Like you know, to come up to someone and like, I do think like you do have to see the writing between the lines at some point in your life. You know, you have to take some responsibility for ignoring the vibe of a room.
Yes.
If you walk into a room and everyone seems mad and you just go up to everyone like, why are we all mad?
I can't put meaning on things and I can't assume. So how's everybody doing?
Well, there is some sort of, you know, like middle ground. I do understand.
But that's your white lie also.
Of course.
That's also but a white lie.
You know, like I had... I just had
you don't know what to name it. We're back here.
It was a little argument over Twitter. Just happened on the way, like kind of on the way here. Mm. And the interaction was a good friend being like, I'm unfollowing you. And then, but I love you and all that. And it's like, okay. Well, no. I texted the person. I said, what's the deal?
Okay, bye. You know, I'll miss you.
Wait.
In public, it was, I'm going to unfollow you, but I love you. That's heartbreaking.
That's what I said. I said to the person, I go, you know me. To say that what I tweet doesn't annoy you, that's, of course, it's going to annoy you if you disagree with the position, but also respect that we love each other and we're friends. Right. And come to me and say that and let me know that, you know, these things bother you and we can talk about it. We can have a full conversation.
What was the thing?
Because
you tweet borderline things.
Sure.
You're nerve-wracking to me.
Okay, that's okay. But that's okay. But you know me and you know that if you ask me on something, I would have like a reasoning. And this is the thing, when we deal with each other in like internet terms, you know, you have no relation. So I tweeted something because 2018, what did I tweet? 2018.
You don't want to paraphrase wrong because it already got you in trouble.
I don't think it will get me in trouble. I just don't want to say it wrong. The 2018 is a hot girl.
Oh boy.
explaining to you your privilege while taking a sip out of a drink you bought her.
Okay.
So the idea of that being is that we live in a time where, listen, that is also saying that you could look at that and go, well, you don't understand how hard it is to be. Knowing me, I know that.
Like, basically your correlation to that is skin deep and so shallow that it feels like it brings women back a step from coming from you, who is the advice giver.
Well,
who's the bro that we like.
My response to that would be that it's not shallow. That it is that my perspective is I grew up across the street from people telling me how easy my life when they're in a bigger house than me. So you can't, you know, so you have to, I can acknowledge my privilege all day long. I'll do it all day long. I came from good upbringing and I would never have to worry about ever being homeless. Like, I think that's a level of privilege, of course. But you have to acknowledge, you know, we keep passing the buck of blame to the more evil person. You know, we can keep calling everyone else evil, but you can't have to admit to your own upbringing, your own privileges. I went to the Knicks game and sat courtside with a friend of mine and like got, because he got me seats. Everyone in that back room was older white guy, also young hot woman.
Yeah.
Okay. So, and I know that's like a tough thing to say because you like who's hot, who's not. Everyone's beautiful to someone, but I'm saying there is a sort of privilege that comes with being hot, guy or girl.
Oh, you're saying that the old guy, young woman, the women are being privileged.
I think there's a level of privilege for them. In the same way that these guys have, but I think we're comparing struggle at a certain point. We're trying to say, I have more struggle than you, so you are had an easier life than me. Everyone had a tough life.
Two things for you there. One, the comparing privilege, I keep hearing that from cis straight white men, is that all they're hearing from people is being yelled at for their privilege and that they, that it feels like people are discounting the obvious, everyone has it rough. Everyone has a hard time going. So
and especially when people are like I'm here for you. Like I'm here trying. I'm here trying to be right on the side of good. I'm trying. So, and especially when it like I do I think
Can I ask you this?
Sure.
Would you if this was so this is like a if we were building a sort of pyramid of privilege.
Sure.
So we all agree this is white male in America, blah, 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 you know, on top. And then we start trickling down. You have this privilege, that privilege, and we're counting. It's almost like, oh, which video game has like numbers above the head where it's you know, I have -3 privilege, you know, and I have 2 privilege, and people are getting mad at the numbers on each other's heads.
Sure.
Right? So to combat that, unfortunately, the people with more privilege are going like, I'm struggling too. I'm this and that too. I need you to hear my voice. Let me ask you this. Let's compare like the white woman.
Okay.
To let's say a black man.
Sure.
Both kind of like have gotten stripped of some of their privilege in this country. Would you have tweeted a similar sort of privilege level?
Okay.
To a relative to a black person, like, oh, you guys think that you're so not privileged, how about this? Do you know what I mean? Like,
hot?
No, not hot, because that's your personal problem. Sure. With women. But
no, it's not a problem.
Would you go, oh, I just got bumped for a black guy, oh, can you believe that they think that they have no privilege in my world? Or do you know what I mean? Like, oh, I had to sit out because a black guy got on the lineup, talk to me about your privilege tomorrow. Would you have tweeted that? And do you think that that's similar? Because I don't think it's similar. I think hot girls do something to you that level down the, that scramble your brain a little. And you're like, if you are able to do this to me, don't you understand that you have so much on me that it hurts me and it bothers me?
No, my difference with the black guy bumping me would be, I think that there's privilege for everybody is what I would say. And there's levels of it. Just like you said, like the points above the head. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, you have like, maybe there's a privilege, but it's all in different ways. Like there's a privilege to like, you can use your body as a sex object to get one over on me.
Yeah, but you can use your body to rape me.
Of course. I'm not saying that one doesn't mean the other doesn't exist.
I think that's what you're saying with this tweet. You know what I mean? Like, I think that...
I'm more saying that I'm willing to acknowledge my privilege. Like, I'm willing to say, like, yeah, I've had it pretty good.
We're here to tell you that you're more a Facebook guy.
Yeah.
Okay?
Stay away from Twitter. These tweets, not going to get you. But my point is that there seems to be less acknowledgement. Like, I can have a conversation with someone and be like, there seems to be, like, I can have a conversation with someone about like privilege and all that, but then you can't do that with the idea of erasing the things that you were brought up with too. Like, I think there's more of a class war than a race war right now. Like, I think there's way more of a class war and no one's talking about it. I think that we hate rich people. I think more than we hate any other person in the world, because we have Instagram. We can see Instagram stories. You see how your neighbors live now. You used to think your neighbors would take a trip to wherever they went and they went on the same vacation as you. Now you see on their stories the vacation they're really taking. You're saying, how the fuck do they live on my block, but they can afford that vacation that I can't afford? And I think that there's a lot more of that going on that people want to.
In your world. So that's
in my world.
That's
but
what people are saying. That's what. So just to clarify, the privilege that you have is thinking that that is existing more today than the racial thing. That's just
maybe that's
my privilege. Just pause for a second. That is the privilege. When you say that and people get mad at you, just so you know, I understand you right now. The reason why people are mad at you is because you say things like that, because you don't have the other perspective of, you know, because not only is that stuff happening that you just said is happening more and more, and you could see that, the people with the added race stuff, they have that and the
but
race
you see
and
that
the sex
races
and
as well.
The gender and the homo and the thing, you know.
I'm not saying those issues aren't issues, but I'm saying you see that within each other's races too. Like a guy like Steph Curry. Steph Curry's in the NBA. His dad played in the NBA. Everyone talks about how other players don't like his upbringing. Like that players in the NBA like are like against him. Like if you go look up art, like that he doesn't get respected as much.
I'm not saying that that's the answer. I'm saying that.
But we have to acknowledge both.
That's not the norm. Like, so if it's not the norm, we have to look at what is, if there's a systematic problem, let's not worry about our day to day. Let's look up at, you know, let's stop hating each other, which I think is part of what you're saying. Instead of like dissing me on this, why don't you either explain it to me which is, you know, emotional label. That's what that is. Or let's just look up and go, hey, these are the people who are making the system happen for us. Let's be mad at them for a second.
Yeah, I mean, I just think like there's personal responsibility. There's also when you come at people and want to let and like lecture them, you also have to come at like I've spent my whole time, especially in comedy, like looking inward and looking at myself. And if someone doesn't take the same amount of time to look at themselves as well, then and dress themselves in the you know the coats of struggle, I have less respect for that conversation.
Do you like being controversial on Twitter, knowing that if somebody does push it, you have something to follow up on, but you like the initial attack? For example, sure. It's March for Our Lives Day the other day.
Okay.
This isn't just in America, this is worldwide. And you tweet out something to the effect of how it seems self-serving, which it is, of course, these people want to stay alive. But also, it seems to you they're just doing it for a picture to say how great I am. You know, of all days to put that out, maybe not yesterday, but you do it anyway. Do you enjoy upsetting somebody for a second?
But that's not, I mean, I don't think, I think both can be true. I think you can be for the march and having the conversation and being for better regulations and also acknowledging the fact that like, yeah, some of this seems like a party. You know, for a lot of people. And there is that out there. I think you bring people more to your side from the other side that disagrees with you when, like, I think, like, some of those people kind of hurt your cause. Like, I think it's more about, like, if we want to say, like, I'm right, I'm at the march, I'm here for the side of right, that's good. But, like, you also, there, you have to acknowledge that there's people that you have to bring, you know, you have to sit down with a dinner and try and get them to, like, everyone has to nudge, you know, and I know it sucks to hear that. And people go, well, I've been nudging my whole life. Yeah, but everyone's got to nudge. Everyone's, you know, negotiations are good. Good deals are when both sides leave unhappy. You know, that's I mean, that's how negotiations get made or they leave the table.
I agree with you that in some protests, if you start talking to someone, they're not even sure why they're there. What they are sure of is their friend who is on top of everything, who is watching the news, who is socially as liberal or conservative as them. And these are the leaders that are getting the numbers out there so that I know, let's say I'm anti, you know, all this, whatever it is. So I might not be able to articulate it like my friend is, but I'm there in the numbers and I'm taking time out for my Saturday. And what you took time out to do is to make fun of me, which I get. We're making fun of everybody. And we have said that, like where I approached years and years ago, I approached someone in front of a Starbucks, you know, we don't want another Starbucks, blah, blah, blah. And I go, oh, how come? Because it at the time, there were no Starbucks. I didn't, you know, obviously a chain is bad. That's just what we have in us. But explain to me like what you guys are doing. They couldn't. And yeah, it did. It failed the entire course because the cause for me, because I'm like, oh, you people are just bored. You're college students, blah, blah, blah. I completely dismissed them. But the rah-rah of it, the numbers of it, got maybe not for the Starbucks thing, who cares about that, but it shows that people are here in numbers and that we care about this, whether we can articulate it, whether we can write a piece on it, whether we can explain it to our next door neighbor. I don't know if that's like where we should be pointing a finger and criticizing at the moment.
I mean, to me, that's like, I didn't get into comedy to march. I get into comedy to make fun of the thing that's going on every day. And everyone can have their own reasons for doing comedy. I just didn't start at that. And that's never been the case for me.
It's but you're making it sound like you did it for a joke. You meant it, right?
What,
the gun control tweet, for example.
Yeah, the gun control tweet. But then it ended with, we should all stop showering for 3 days so that so we don't look as good in these pictures. So it was pro the march in my eyes. It's, you know, the tweet that you're referencing is, it seems, and my point was to say, here's an emotion that's out there. Whether you like it or not, it's out there. There's a group of people.
There's a tone deafness to it that doesn't bring people to laugh at your joke. So like to me, it's when somebody says a bad trans joke, people aren't getting mad just because it's not funny. They're getting mad because you have your information wrong and therefore the punchline gets thrown off.
But I'm saying that the information that I'm witnessing what's going on. I'm watching the same Snap stories, Instagram stories as a lot of people. And I'm taking an emotion that I have and I'm relating it to an audience that I deal with every day. So I'm saying when someone sees like, oh, there it's, you know, the girl like, you know, or a guy like looking like they're at a photo shoot at a march. All my point was to say is there's a group of people that look at that photo shoot and go, what, fuck this whole thing. And you know what? Wrong as that sounds.
I did feel that way when I marched. I was like, oh, we're all here with our friends. Obviously, we're just marching. That's what we're here for. But all of a sudden, we're taking pictures. And I felt weird. Do I smile in this picture? Do I look like shit? Should I fix my hair really quick? Because I still want to march for this reason.
Sure.
But I feel like on Instagram, people will not look at the picture if it's not
There is a PR thing. We all are our own PR agents. Yeah. And but also, I understand, also readily understand how important social media is to these causes. You know, having the picture up is having someone see that this is an issue. And I totally understand that. And that's why the whole point of the thing was to say, okay, that emotion's out there. And then it's also like, okay, here's a solution. My jokey solution is not to take showers for 3 days before a march. And then you won't look as good and won't look, you know, look, everyone look, have bedhead in their picture.
But let's get to your drama queen friend.
Sure.
Who, when you want to, when you have to cut ties with somebody you knew for years and you mean it.
Yeah.
You don't give them a final, I'm going to have to leave. I want you to know I love you.
But I texted the person and I said, listen, I love you and we're fine. Like, that's the thing. We know each other, but you know where I'm coming from. Like, you know where that place is. I do think that tweet could be a good bit at some point. I do think acknowledging that there's a group of people out there that are yelling at people that grew up the same way as them, that is interesting to me. And I would hope that maybe one day that could be interesting to a group of people that I'd sit in front of a room.
I feel like then we just call those people allies. Like, you don't have to be struggling the same. We need the allies who aren't struggling
totally.
In the same way.
But, you know, I think...
And those allies shower more often, I guess. Yeah. There's your joke.
Yeah, who knows? I don't know. But I think allies, the allies thing, you know, good for you. You know, like, I don't know what else I can do for that person to make them feel like more of a hero. You know, you can be a... I think I'm an ally in a way.
You have to be.
I think right now we live in the time of you have to look good because we have this thing out. You have an advertise. It's hard. It's really hard to have an opinion that's against the side of good. And it's really hard to put that out there because, you know, people will make you into whatever they want to make you into. Like, So prime example. I was just at I wanted to bring this up. Prime example. I'm at a...
Are you nervous right now, by the way?
I'm nervous about this this conversation because I think it's funny.
Okay.
Right before the show, Jared goes, I have something on my mind. It can get me in trouble.
It can get me in trouble.
All right, let's go. By the way, that's going to be the title of my new stand-up special.
This could get me in trouble. let me explain. I'm at this party. It's a nice apartment. They got art everywhere. So the girl, you know, girl tells me, yeah, that art is from like a... I don't know how this is going to sound. The art is from a mentally challenged artist.
Okay.
And, you know, mentally challenged artists are just as good as regular artists.
Was there a follow-up question or does this just go on?
What's that?
This is just how she's curating this?
This is how she's telling me about the art. And I'm like, and I don't know good art from bad art.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like if some art, you see it and you're like, I don't get... What the fuck this is?
There's a line on a canvas.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be deep and I don't know it.
And I said to her, I go, well, now that you've told me, it's kind of the takes away because I can't say it's bad.
I'd say, yeah, he did all the art,
yeah,
I assume.
This is what I'm saying. Yeah, either all the artists are mentally challenged. Like, I don't know. And I'm looking at this and at that point I go, well, I look at her, I was like, well, I don't think it can be judged on the same level because I can't say it's bad now.
Like, what'd she say to that?
She laughed, because I'm like, because I was looking at it, I was like, if you tell me that the artist is mentally challenged and you look at it, you go, look at what he's done. I can't be like, well, the lines are off. You know, like how evil would I sound?
Right.
But then which is funny to me because you're now in a really awkward situation. So now I'm at this party being like, yeah, I don't know. Like you can't say it's the greatest because no one can say it's bad. Because you have to sound on the side of right. If a guy got up in front of a room who was, and listen, this is I'm saying this with full knowledge of, like, I care about the mentally challenged community. Like, I want them to be taken care of. I want, like, the best for them. I've...
So buy the art piece, you piece of shit.
Exactly!
Yeah. I'll take two of that one.
Yeah, I'll have two, and, yeah, and I want to be his best friend. Like, I don't know.
Look at Jared's stressful life. I don't know about art!
I'm just saying. I've never said I had a hard life. I'm just saying.
It's really tough out
but
there
But I'm
for
saying
you.
This is the side. You have to be... This is the best art I've ever seen. Like, I guess, like, what are you going to say? I didn't like his impressionist period.
Well, as a curator, it's odd for her to even lead, you know. Hey, look at this one. Wow, right?
That should be on the way out. Yeah. That's what I told her. I go, you should say, what do you think of all the art? And I'll go, it's beautiful. I love it. And then go, you know.
Joke's on you.
He's actually mentally challenged. And I go, oh, my God. Now I'm even more impressed. You know, like. I say this to be funny, but I'm saying funny is on the side of wrong and weird.
Did you get in trouble?
No, we laughed at it because it is a interest. Like, she was like, yeah, that is awkward. Now I'm at this party meeting all her friends.
Wondering which one.
Just can't stop talking about it. I don't know about this artwork, guys. You're like, you know, how much of an asshole.
My God. Tell
but
the
I'm
story.
Saying, like, this is a thing.
Jared
this is my
takes
podcast.
A trip to someone's home and is confused by artwork
well, this
for
is
a
I think,
week.
This is why I think podcasts exist, because, like, tweets don't do anything very much justice unless it's like a quippy line. Like, especially with these subjects.
Oh, so you do know that.
Yeah, I have a good idea about it.
What if in your Twitter bio it says, sorry, there's only so much room?
Sorry, you don't have it. I wish there was a way for tone. How do I do tone in this? You know, is there a red color for, you know, this is a certain way I'm trying to say it? I don't know.
They added more characters so that you can put that caveat at the end of all of your
You know
tweets.
What's really funny? More words.
This is why people add LOL.
Yes. Right? Mm. To let people know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ha ha.
Ha ha, I'm a good person.
Ha ha. Mm-hmm. Nazis. Mm-hmm. Had a point, right? You know, LOL.
I think you got it.
I think, like, especially social media wise, like, I looked at her and I was like, this is awkward, but, like, no one can say that it's bad artwork. And that could never be explained anywhere but a podcast or anywhere, you know, but in person. And that's why that's why stand up is so great. You're in the room with people, you know how the vibe is. And that's why people get in trouble a lot of times with stand up for, you know, lines that are taken out and written down. It's always things that are written down, you know, instead of, like, you know, in the vibe of the room could be rocking. And then all of a sudden it was, you know, I always talk about when people tape stuff, like, at a show, and then, I have a joke about a guy got cut off in the cab, and he literally screamed, "I hate black people." That was mm-hmm. the cab driver yelled that out. So I always say, and then someone was taping that. I go, listen, I go, you got to stop taping, because you can just edit that to me screaming, "I hate black people."
Right. You know, like, I just don't think that's happening.
But that's the fear, I think, with anyone. Like,
yes, I think that's that might be happening, like, with bigger media or something, where they take your stuff out of context and
sure.
stuff. I don't, what do you think?
All I know is that if that asshole in a club wasn't recording the great Hannibal Buress, we would not have Cosby in trouble. We would not have a Me Too moment. I'm trying to bring back recordings.
You want more recording.
And I want people, you know what? This is what The Big Sick taught me, the movie.
What did it teach you?
Heckle if it's the love of your life.
Oh, is that?
That's how the whole movie starts.
Is that how the movie starts?
Yeah. And then they form a bond. So who knows
love
about
is
these
love.
Tried and true rules. Yeah. Are we excited about Easter?
Any questions about abortion?
Yay or nay?
Are we excited about Easter, the religious holiday? Do we do anything? Passover?
I go Passover, but I was supposed to be in LA for a month. So I'm going away tomorrow.
They have it too.
They have it there too?
Yeah.
They got Jews?
They have everything.
They got the whole Jew thing?
Well, the whole industry's there, isn't it?
Oh, finally.
They call LA Eastern New York.
Eastern New York. Now, East New York's a totally different
right.
story. Yeah.
Do your parents care about you keeping Passover
no,
in terms of...
No, I think they just, like, you know what those holidays become for, like, the, you know, the high holiday Jews?
It becomes, why aren't you coming over?
Come home. It's a guilt fest. Mm-hmm. Like, come to the house. How are you not over? All that stuff.
Well, it's Easter week right now.
Okay. You guys have, like, an Easter week special that goes
mm-hmm. on? Oh, yeah. Find my eggs. They were aborted a couple of years ago.
So you had Palm Sunday.
Okay.
Jesus rode into Jerusalem and everybody loved him and put palms down on the ground.
There was a guy outside of my apartment today with palms.
Yeah.
Asking people, have you celebrated Palm Sunday?
With what kind of palms?
I didn't even know. I didn't even know it was a thing. And you saying it right now is like the second time I've heard Palm Sunday in my life. First time was this dude just outside waving palms. Have you celebrated Palm Sunday?
It's from the palm tree. It's whenever you would see the Romans being fanned.
Sure.
With the giant palm leaves. So they put these leaves on the ground so Jesus' horse wouldn't have to step in mud. Now you would think Jesus would be going, guys, I'm not really liked by some people. Let's keep it down.
Yeah.
But they made
And also I can walk on water. My horse can walk on this.
Yeah. Why is this?
We're okay, guys.
Why is this such an issue? Yeah.
They made it a big production.
Sure.
Then Tuesday goes by. Mm. Not really the most celebrated of the week. Then it's Wednesday of Holy Week. And that's when the rabbis plotted to have Jesus killed.
Always want to get that stuff out on a Wednesday because you want to make sure people are on board, come back to work. You know, you don't want to do it on a Friday.
It's a hump day.
You want to plot on a Wednesday. Thursday, you get it in. Thursday, you do it. Friday, you know, you...
Well, Thursdays, there's edits.
Yes,
and then edits. Friday, you can execute.
You execute in the morning.
Yeah.
And then the afternoon...
Make adjustments.
Happy hour.
Well, Holy Thursday, they're, you know, more plotting with the killing of Jesus as Jesus is having the Last Supper.
Mm.
And right there is when Jesus realizes that Judas is against them because the bill comes and Jesus is looking at it going, who the fuck ordered the wine? You know? So, and it was Judas. And so that meal's done. But that, of course, is the meal where we took the body of Christ idea. He says, this bread is my body.
Okay.
The wine is my blood. Don't even ask me what the mayonnaise is.
This is why I like taping with you guys on a Sunday. It's like coming to Sunday school.
Yeah, yeah.
This is crazy.
We do this every Sunday.
I love it.
Yeah. I think, you know, we're paraphrasing Jesus. I think he was saying, look, I beg, borrowed, and steal this. And I think we should go along with it.
Yeah.
And then, of course, he was killed on Friday.
Of course.
And
the Holy Sabbath.
And then he rose from the dead on Sunday.
That's the whole story of Easter?
Yeah.
Is that it?
That's the story of Easter.
Where do the eggs come in, Father Mally?
Where's the bunny?
On Palm Sunday, they gave him eggs. And the kids colored the eggs because they didn't have parchment.
The bunny complaint is such a older without kids complaint.
What else
you were just doing a cute thing for kids. Right. Why don't you shut the fuck up?
Right.
You know
such
what?
This is stupid. It's not even what it's about. It's a Hallmark thing. It's like, yeah, well, I have kids now and they enjoy it.
Do you think the eggs come from, because that Last Supper was supposed to be Passover, right?
Mm-hmm.
And on the Passover plate, one of the major things is eggs. It's a symbolic thing for Passover, very big. So maybe they were like, we're going to take this, but we're going to jazz it up a bit.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the bunny
we'll
is about.
Take the egg and paint it.
Yeah.
Give it some color. That play,
look
the
at
eggs
this.
Were.
It's just white. I don't understand.
The eggs were always my favorite because you could at least eat. It was actually edible.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, there would be a part with the leaf.
Oh, in Passover?
Yeah, yeah. Passover was the hungriest holiday I remember growing up.
Oh, my God, the worst.
You had to go through this whole thing, right?
You literally have to recite an entire book. I don't know if you guys went through the whole book.
We did it.
We went through the whole book every single time. And we went, and so I'm like, oh, some of my relatives don't speak this language or that language or whatever. So we're going to be skipping over this, right? Because we go down the line. No. We had books in Persian.
Oh, no.
We had books in English, and we had books in Hebrew, and you read whatever you want.
That is horrifying, because my mom's side of the family was very religious, or more religious, not very, having seen, you know, now living in New York, I've seen very. They were more religious, so we would go and do the whole book, I remember just waiting to eat so hungry, and then it got shorter every year.
I would yoink. Other people say, I'm like, you're not eating your egg. I'm going to eat the egg. You're not eating this. Then can I have half of it? Like, fuck, what is it? Because half the things on your plate are so disgusting. There's the bitter herbs and the horseradish. I'm like, horseradish is not food. It's like what you put on a cracker for 5 seconds. But so, and then there was this one moment. We didn't have this growing up. I think we went to someone else's house one year. Maybe it was even our aunt's or something. The bitter herb, I think, was just scallion.
Mm-hmm.
And you just eat the scallion, remembering how bitter their lives were, you know, blah, blah, blah. So you're pretending like you're back in the days of Pharaoh. Of course, we were slaves in Egypt. Mm-hmm. We were building the pyramids, yada, yada. And so this long piece of onion, you're supposed to eat it to remember it. But before we do that, we're singing Dayenu, Dayenu, mm-hmm. Da. And during this, because we were celebrating, like, look, if God didn't help us, we would have died in had this not happened, we would have been left to die. Had this not happened, we would have been left to die. And every time we went to the chorus, which was Die, 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 we took this thing and used it as a whip and whipped each other.
Oh, my God.
To remember that we were being whipped into...
This was done at your Seder?
Oh, yeah. And apparently, this is, like, not uncommon.
Mm-hmm. The Romans would whip the Jews with scallions.
Tradition.
Well, I mean, you know, it's all symbolic.
Yeah, I missed this whole...
Yeah.
That was my family was a bunch of pussies.
You should have seen...
We're just sitting there.
They threw chopped onion at us. Yeah. That was nothing.
We were just crying because of the onions.
Yeah.
But the funniest part, we were still kids, and we were bored to fucking death, and we still can't eat, and all of a sudden, you're allowing us to whip each other. Onion was flying across the room.
Oh my God.
We whipped each other until all the little leaves, and they're tight leaves. The leaves were flying everywhere. Like, no, they said we can do this. We're hitting each other as hard as possible. We're throwing it across the room at each other.
I just love it. Like one like Irish guy walked in like, what the fuck is going on here? These people are crazy.
Halfway through the meal, I'm punching my sister. My mom's like, what are you doing? I'm like, still remembering.
I ran out of verbs.
Yeah. I just remember how resilient you were as a human. You realize your resiliency as a human during those Passover things, because you're eating these things and you're like, oh, this is, you're making yourself eat the most disgusting thing in the world. You're like, yeah, but I'll, now you're convincing yourself it's delicious. You're putting, like, you know, like what you said, putting it on the cracker brought me back to, like, yeah, and then I'd eat like pounds of it.
Yeah.
Because I was like, this is what we got. We got to get it in while we can.
Right. Like, I remember for Passover, we used to keep Passover, so we wouldn't have any bread in the house. We wouldn't have any bread-like substances in the house. Everything would have to be kosher for Passover. My mother would clean the house. I mean, she was OCD, so she cleaned the house anyway. She would super deluxe clean the house. Mm-hmm. And then you have to take this matzah and make it edible for you. So we would make matzah pizza. Now, I'm thinking that when we were running away, crossing the Dead Sea, you know, trying for it not to close on us because it just miraculously opened on us, did we stop to put a little sauce, little herbs in the sauce, you know, jazz it up a bit? I remember cutting like green cucumbers into small, maybe a little onion in there. All of a sudden, my matzah pizza, I'm like, you know what? I would open a matzah pizza shop.
This could be great.
This is delicious. What am I learning? That I'm a fucking piece of shit. I'm still spoiled. I'm still not back in the day fighting, you know, to
what about
to be
matzo
free.
Did you ever do matzo with butter?
With everything, but butter's not so much my thing, but
just basically eating a stick of butter.
It's just, I've done matzah. I ran it underwater to make it better.
Really?
Yeah. And just like, oh, surprise, this is better because matzah sucks.
Imagine
a saltine without anything that you like about the saltine.
Oh, you're having an een.
I mean,
right?
Yes.
All right, we're all crossing the Red Sea. Pesto on the other side. 2x2, please.
Here we go. Hummus was created. We gotta do something with this shit.
Last time I was at my parents' house, I mentioned how my dad brought up, like, I listened to your show, and you don't believe in God, do you? And
really?
And I say, oh, who knows how I feel too much, you know? Which is the same way I'm going to deal with this toothbrush.
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, how he deals with sometimes. I'm like, Keith, you know what we should do next month? We should totally have this live show and blah, 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 and do this and that and the other. And this is his face. And I'll describe it in a second for those just listening. He goes, he squinches his face up, tilts his head to the side, shrugs a little, just going, and I'm like, forget it. Oh, that's what I'm going to have to fight for months.
It's him feeling the work that has to be done.
Yes.
Literally weighing the work decisions and the hours put in.
Well, it turns out he's right sometimes, so I try to follow it.
So my dad said, well, you believe in Christ, of course, right? Like that, I mean, that doesn't even need discussed. You believe in Christ as the Son of God, right? So, like, he thinks he's going to get me to say, yes, of course, I'm a human being. Of course, I believe Christ is the Son of God. And then he'll go, I'm sorry, the son of who? You know, I think that's the way he'll get me to think about it.
What did your dad think of the divorce?
He's not pleased, but it wasn't a religious ceremony. So that disgusted him at first, but no pun, thank God that I didn't.
That's such a funny... come around.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, it all worked out, I guess.
He said, how about next time you know, you get it done in a church? And I said, well, with my track record, let's wait and see.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, fair enough. Little chuckle from dad.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. At 10 years, you'd get married in a church. Like, now God sees
well,
it.
Well, maybe to him, like, if we look at it from his perspective, maybe he, do you think he has this feeling that, like, because you didn't do it in a church, it wasn't as important to you?
Yes.
But, okay.
Which is an interesting, like that's why he thinks he's right. Like, he...
It would be interesting, except he got married outside of the church first because the church didn't let him out of his priesthood. And then he got married a couple years later after having
a
child.
He had sex, you mean. He had sex, you mean.
But he got married. He got married with the eyes of our government.
I see what you're saying.
And then had a baby because they consummate for a reason. And then got married with the church.
This is your dad?
Yes.
But only because he had to get out of his, you know, priesthood.
It's so interesting, though. That he's bringing it to you.
But there's always a caveat to religion because you can't follow that book down to the letter.
I think it's like OCD. You know, like, you ever see, like, you meet religious Jews, they're like, yeah, you got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. You got to do it this way. You got to touch the door handle 3 times. You know, it feels like some of these religious things, the people that really do it, it feels like they've like, it is. It's so ritualized that like maybe you lose the meaning. And then they're like, well, you know, you meet modern Orthodox people and they're just doing a la carte. They're just like, yeah, that's okay because of this. And this is okay. I mean, look at the what do they call it? The guy that sits there and turns on all the lights for you.
Oh, the Shabbos Goy.
The Shabbos Goy. Mm-hmm. That is literally...
That's the worst.
That's like a human app to get around being religious.
You know what I think that's like? I think that's... It's the worst kind of religious person you could be is to have a Shabbos Goy, is to give someone the gun and ask them to shoot for you and you'll go to jail.
This is what it is.
And I'm safe. Like, I don't want to turn on the light because I'm going to go to the bad place even though Jews don't believe it. But you're a piece of shit anyway.
Yeah, so. You're not going anywhere anyways. Yeah. It's weird. And you see the Shabbos Goy. I went to a Chabad Friday night dinner. They invited me to go. It was years ago. And I'll never forget the Shabbos Goy because I was like, who's that guy? Like, I had no idea. And he's just sitting there.
It's the guy that's allowed to do all of the stuff that is not allowed to do.
So he'll turn on the oven. He'll press the button for the elevator. And like, they're just like directing him like, yeah, you want to get that? Like, he's doing all this stuff. And it's funny to me thinking of him like counting the money and being like, these guys, I exist because of some fake bullshit these people believe in. He's just getting paid as an actor. Like, it's like not even, you know, like if you really don't believe, like I don't think, I mean, I like some sort of religion in my life, but that to me was so ridiculous that like,
mean. I think it's evil.
It's a little bit mean. Yeah, it's mean. And I also think like, I just think of him counting the money outside like these, like him telling the story to all his friends. Like, you're not going to believe this. They just pay me to press buttons.
Well, I worked in many or multiple rather Orthodox Jewish restaurants.
Mm.
And Saturday night is your holy day?
Friday night to Saturday night.
So Saturday night, when you do open at sundown and there's a line, everybody's hungry. Somehow all the food's ready. Right then.
sundown.
At sundown.
Yeah. They got timers on the ovens.
Timers my ass. They got Keith Malley's working there. Right.
But yeah,
they got people named O'Shanigan.
Yeah.
So when I was visiting my dad, he can't sleep. He's having troubles. His son doesn't believe in Christ. First thing the next morning, he says, son. Big smirk on his face. Okay. Whatever's zinger's coming, he's nailing me. Again, no pun. So he says, you say you don't believe in Christ. Almost like last time on Father and Son.
Yeah, this is like a sitcom.
Right. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know. And he goes, well, if there is no Christ, son, why do we celebrate Christmas?
Oh.
And it's like he dropped the mic, you know? He was very pleased with it. Well, first of all,
there's no Santa. Where'd you get all those presents?
I don't know. Right. I don't know why. It's
what are you talking about? This is crazy.
As if we call it Christmas. Yeah. You know?
How do you explain it on the calendar?
No, Keith types back, that's exactly why I call it Xmas. Right.
I go, I don't know, Dad. Why do we celebrate Easter on April Fool's Day? Mm. Hey, what are we going to do? Be here all day?
Oh, happy birthday, Christian Finnegan.
What?
There's a new movie called Paul, Apostle of Christ, and it's in the top 10 movies of the weekend.
Make money.
They do. We were talking the other day about a movie called I Can Only Imagine, and it's about a song that I saw had like almost 30 million views. It's very, very stupid, but it's about a guy. Well, he can only imagine what Christ will look like when he gets to heaven. And in the promo, in the trailer, the guy playing, the real musician, says, oh, thanks for liking my song, but it only took me 10 minutes to write. And this earnest woman says, no, you were writing it your whole lifetime. And then it goes back into his life, his dad not getting along but with him. And then later, the guy finds God, the dad, and everything's good.
I can only
good.
Imagine Jesus has blue eyes. Right. Only
God
the best.
Is Queen Latifah.
So all these movies are funny to me, the religious ones, because by critics who don't necessarily have an agenda, they give this movie 35% of Rotten Tomatoes, at least the Paul one, 90% by regular people. And with this movie, I Can Only Imagine, 67% by critics, 96% by regular people, meaning obviously it's about God and you cannot not like the movie.
And the critics are starting to get it.
Right.
They're but, coming around, baby.
Yeah,
37 also, to 67, that's a big jump.
And also, if you're going to see that movie, you believe in that movie's message, so sure. How bad could it be? Like, what are they going to tell you? All of a sudden, Jesus is having an affair? Like, what?
Yeah, there's no...
What are you criticizing?
In the Paul movie...
The Queen Latifah turn. They didn't like that.
Oh,
they,
I see.
They
I
didn't
see.
Like that she was God.
You got your message in there. The actual Jew message is that Queen Latifah is...
Jim Caviezel plays the Apostle Luke.
Does he really?
Who also...
This guy's going full... Mm-hmm. This guy's going full Bible on us.
So what Jared is saying,
he was Passion of the Christ.
He played Jesus in Passion of the Christ, which is kind of a demotion, right? A little downgrade.
A little bit of a downgrade, yeah.
It makes me think of my dad, who was a priest and can forgive sin, can ensure you go to heaven.
Sure.
And now he has to wipe the asses of five bratty children. That's a demotion.
What could have been?
That's how you grew up, is that was a demotion. Unfortunately, that's where you got your self-esteem.
Right.
Keith, I used to forgive people. So you peeing in this corner is not good for me and my ego.
Right.
Thank you, Keith.
I mean, the poor guy, he wants to teach us lessons growing up, but at the same time, his favorite thing to do is being able to forgive. So it's tough, right?
Listen,
yeah, he's like, I want to forgive you because I'm so good at it.
He's good at it.
You know what? I never thought to say, look, Dad, okay, I took the car out without permission.
Mm.
You've forgiven murderers. You've forgiven rapists, but I'm sorry if I ate the dessert and lied.
If you put it, you should have had growing up on your door, just a sign above the door just says, Jesus forgives.
Right.
And then every time you go into your room, go to your room, you'd slap the sign like it was like, play like a champion today for Notre Dame. And he would hear that. And he'd be reminded every time.
In fact, I think every time he criticizes you, you should go, wow, I hope Jesus can forgive me for this one.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, he'll jump to it. He'll be like, I'll help you with that.
Yeah.
I got some old leftover. Let me dust this off, you know?
I'm gonna go to church to get forgiven. He'll be like, I can do it here.
What did Dad think of all the good fucking you were doing?
He's pleased.
He's happy for you.
You know what he does? He throws this out every so often, and I don't follow it.
Mm.
But if let's say when I was young, if I stole something, or now that I'm dating, I know it's weird things to equate, but things that he wouldn't be pleased with, he throws in, you know, you wouldn't believe this, but I was a lot like you. I'm like, what does that mean? Does that mean you stole stuff?
Tell me a story.
Does that mean you picture dating? What are you talking? And I'm just like, sounds good.
That's so funny because we're not allowed to have follow-up questions. Like, wouldn't that be a great story? Mm. Dad, did you really just say that?
Whoa.
For example, my mom says the opposite. She goes, how do you live like this? I would never be. I remember she found out, I came home from my boyfriend's house and I was supposed to be at, you know, somewhere else, whatever. Mm. She didn't even know I had a boyfriend. And she's like, you're obviously asleep. She didn't even want to say it. And I go, yeah. Yeah, Mom, because I was like, I don't want to lie to you. I was 19 at the time. Mm-hmm. You know, it's happening and I'm here. I'm back at home at 6 a.m. Yeah, I wasn't dancing the whole time. So the club closed, Mom. Right. And so she goes, oh, my God. And he's taking advantage of you, all this shit. And I'm like, well, yeah, because he's older than me and he's a fuck. But you're right. I didn't tell her that. I was like, well, because she's just thinking this is the first guy I slept with. So, of course, he's taking advantage. We're not married, blah, blah, blah. I go, Mom. He's not the first one. And she had a moment. Mm. She had a moment And then she added this up during that moment. She goes, you slept with more men than I did.
She starts sweating.
Yeah.
She starts getting into it.
I'm going to my room.
Ew.
She's looking around. She's going, and then she starts thinking of men in her past.
I do, but to me, I was like, oh, this really just broke your heart because you don't know how to wrap your mind around being intimate with more than one person because she never did anything with anybody before my dad. Maybe she kissed people. I'm not even sure about that. So I was like, he's not the first. And her heart was like, just, oh my God, more than I go, Mom, that was pretty easy to do.
Yeah.
What are these words coming out of my face? I got to move out.
Right. Your mom's like, TMI.
Yes, but it was just, you know, you get to the point with your parents that you're looking me dead in the eye. You're asking me to lie to you. Mm. And when I don't, you're like, please leave my eye line.
Yeah.
This is so uncomfortable. And it came to a point, I'm like, she stopped asking me anything, literally anything, because she knows she's now going to get the truth. And then one time when she came, this is years later, I go, Mom, why don't we talk about some of this stuff that's making you upset that we just kind of, you know, passive aggressive. She goes, oh, I'm leaving tomorrow. We almost made it through the trip without talking about this.
Oh my God.
Can't we just let it live? And I'm crying. And I'm just like, oh, you genuinely don't want to know me because you know, as soon as you know anything more about me, you're already grossed out. As soon as you know anything more about me, you might cross over into like legitimately not liking your daughter. You're trying to save yourself from feeling this way about your family members.
Do you think, yes.
Do
you think she like, you think you legitimately have to exchange that type of information with your mom?
Oh, if she's,
But they keep asking. They don't know their own line. For example,
she's asking and then doesn't like the answer she's getting.
What she doesn't realize is she just shared about her sex life. She's like, oh, you slept with more men than I did.
Yeah.
That's a conversation.
Yes. That seems like a statement that she doesn't expect an answer to.
Right. But she's going to keep giving me statements all my life.
Yeah,
and it's
course.
Like, hey, daughter, that didn't end in a question mark. Sorry that I spoke. What does come after your mom telling you that you slept with more people? It's a sex conversation. We need to finish this. It's okay. Mom, I have a vagina. You have a vagina. What? No. It's all right. I saw you naked a million times.
Yeah.
This is okay. If someone's taking advantage of me, let's talk about that. But not talking about like you're just throwing around your vagina. Maybe I am. Let's talk about that.
Right. Like my dad would like to know. He knew about somebody I was dating before and that all of a sudden.
I know we met.
It's over. Right. So I know he wants to know why is it over? But I got to be like, well, I'll give you 2 days to think about it. But something happened and all of a sudden it's over. And they'll be like, they heard your talk show and didn't like it. Nope. Something
Two
else.
Two words. The blowjobs.
Can
you imagine? His face just melts.
Right.
He's just like, you've killed me.
I tried to give you time.
I gave you a shot, man.
But if you look at the people who get along with their parents, it's the people who are like asking, oh, why did you break up? And if their kid goes, hey, the sex was really creepy or weird or incompatible, their parents' ears don't start lighting on fire. They just go, oh.
I'm listening to this because I'm close with my parents. And
you're like too close though.
I'm just saying.
You're close until you get married and then you like, phew, all right.
I'm done. I found a new mom. I'm going to see them this week and I'm bringing a girl around. And they're like, what's going on? And I'm like, don't worry about it.
But
and
you're bringing her around.
Yeah. Okay. And they're like, are we going to meet? And I go, I'm going to have a couple days on our own. And then I'll come see you on Wednesday. And my dad's like,
oh, you're not introducing them.
I said, it's just not at that point.
Okay.
He's afraid that this girl's going to leave a toothbrush at the parents' house.
Yeah.
But you understand that
we'll walk out all her mousse. She's got a drawer with moose, and it's nothing. Don't worry about it. But it's just going to stay in Florida with them. It's just a technical thing. I don't like being out in Florida without my moose.
Are we really making this a thing?
My moose.
No, I got to leave a drawer at your parents' house. Okay.
But you know, this is a conversation. This is beyond the conversations that Keith and I have had with our parents.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But I'm saying there's no like graphic detail. Like, I'm not going to look at them and go, listen, mom, dad, it's been we've had sex 7 times.
Right.
We're going to fuck in this hotel room for a couple of days. And then you're going to be let in after the cleaning woman comes.
But that's because your parents don't go, did you sleep with them? Because right. They're not thinking that you're still 12. When my parents go, you slept with that person, I have to answer. And then they go, why are we having this conversation?
I can't believe you even answer that question. Like, I'd be like, that's not that. I would laugh at that. Like, if they were like, are you sleeping with this woman? I'd be like, are you asking a question that's ridiculous right now? Like, I would be like, and then we'd end it.
Trust me, we've tried all the methods. The methods. I tried, they go, when are you having kids? I go, well, I'm practicing for now. Yeah. Shut up already. I'm 40.
Yeah, of course we
try. I'm 40. What do you think I'm doing?
That's a very confrontational conversation. When are you having kids? I'm practicing all day.
Right. And we've tried it all.
We tried in the butt. It doesn't work.
Just in case.
We've tried staring back. I tried spending the night in the barn. This is what we came up with. It's the most fun because none of it matters.
Right. Yeah, we came to the conclusion where we can, all my life, I've circumvented my parents' questions. Are you sleeping with anyone? Hey, is that tea that you're having? I'll have some of that. Trust me. These are just the funniest ones. And we reached a point, you know?
I know. It's so funny though. I to get to that point where it's that, like knowing glances is how my family works.
Mm-hmm.
Just know, like two winks. We're just conolingus pals. One week, full on fucking.
Right. Finger in the okay sign.
Yeah.
With your hands.
Yeah.
Yep.
Like, and that's a weird, like bringing girls around my dad is like such a weird experience too. Cause like he's still a dude.
Right.
So he's like checking, you know, I look at him and he's,
he gives you the approval of.
It's not even approval. It's just, there's no like, you know, thumbs up, thumbs down. But there is a level of like him being like, ooh, you know, like
what do you think still, approval is?
Yeah, that's
approval. He doesn't look at me and go, ugh. Like, it's not like he does that. No, but
my dad does the same thing. He doesn't want to talk about things, but any woman I ever brought over, he will not stop gushing in front of them how pretty they are.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did he do that to you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Oh, it's so weird because he's enamored by, like, look at what my son is doing. And I'm like, stop that.
Yeah, literally.
Like, yeah.
What am I doing?
Yeah.
I
just like, look at you, son. And I'm like, no, you're still looking at me.
And now, up and down. Now I feel bad because I've never praised him for mom.
I did. No worries, bro.
Okay, all right.
I did. Your mom is a hottie,
though.
Now
that you mention it, mom's looking good.
His mom's a hottie.
He's looking at you going, oh, you're so beautiful. You know, let's talk about mom.
Mom's a catch.
What you're dealing with right now?
Jared, if you want to follow him on Twitter, remember, he means it and does it.
Listen, I come out on the toughest of days, and I'm talking shit all those days.
Oh, such a rough life. Oh, my goodness. Add up your points.
The thing is, I can't, I don't understand the idea of like, the right day, wrong day for these things. I understand what you're saying, but that never crossed my mind of like, ooh, today's a day to get people. Like, I'm just like, it's, you know.
Right. Well, here's the privilege thing.
Sure.
Okay, here's
that statement you just said.
Here's what we learned, right. All of you. Here's the privilege thing. Your big thing about getting in trouble.
Sure.
Was the funnest story I've ever heard about a mentally handicapped challenge person.
I appreciate you enjoyed it. I was like, this is so awkward. Because I can't not say, well, you can't disagree with that.
Instagram @JaredFreed.
I'm loving Instagram right now. I got to say. Do you guys like Instagram?
Love it. I love all social platforms.
I like Instagram the best.
The more,
love
the
it.
Better.
I love it.
@JaredFreed.
The weirder to understand, the better. The different better. Rules to love go it. Live and send out and share, the better. It keeps the brain working. Life is a puzzle.
Anything that takes our mind off of the brutal reality that is life is perfect.
Actually, the recent photos that we put on Instagram are amazing. Ann Whitman of Ann Whitman Photos was actually at our latest event on in Tinder Trap, and they have this bathroom that is just covered with stickers and graffiti and shit. She was like, please go into this bathroom super quick. And I was hungry. I had to go. And she snapped these photos that make me look so fucking cool. Please, now that you mention it, check our Instagram because I look so cool, and check out Ann Whitman's photography.
Hemda, it's so funny you said a lot of these restaurants and bars are like creating walls. Like they're creating walls for our sensibilities, you know? And so they're like, my buddy's opening a bar in South Carolina, and he's like, yeah, every wall
has to be Instagram friendly.
Like with the name of your bar and with something. And I was in Tampa a couple weeks ago, and I was sitting next to a wall that was like kind of fun looking wall. I watched like 50 girls come up and just have to take our photo shoots together.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, this wall.
There's another place. There's a place. I don't know what I was watching. Something I hate watching. I always turn it off because I'm like, what am I doing? Mm. Like some of the most fabulous hotels, I think. And so this one, the water looks like, what's those ones that it looks like if you reach the end, you fall off the building?
Infinity pool.
Yes, it was an infinity pool. This view was, I mean, it was crazy. Being in that pool looked crazy. Mm. And they got the camera on there, and literally, no joke, and the guy said, this is just PR like crazy to just have that infinity pool. Literally, everybody in the pool had their phones out and was only taking pictures. No one was splashing. No one was having fun. No one had a thing. No one was lounging. No one was just kind of like moving around. No one was holding each other. Everyone was just taking photos. And he goes, this is one of the reasons why we're so big, is this is just the best PR ever.
Well, this is, I mean, not to bring us back to a subject that is a tough subject. This is, we all get something out of those pictures. They're not just taking those pictures because they like a nice sunset.
Right.
They're taking it.
You're saying some of these signs, that's some font they came up with.
Whatever they're taking a picture of is because they're like, look at how good a thing this is that I am at. You get something in return for that. You get likes. You get comments.
Oh, yeah.
Their dopamine goes off in your brain.
We're feeding each other the crack. Absolutely.
It's crack. Yeah. And I see it fully.
And that's why you're so excited about Instagram recently.
That's exactly why.
Yes.
And that's why I'm pushing everyone to there, because that's where I get the most drugs. Right?
Yes.
When you look up hot women on Instagram, isn't it funny, like, you want to say
beautiful,
like,
women.
Beautiful
Keith,
women.
I don't like to.
That, like, you don't even have to have the sunset. Let's stop pretending.
Let's just see that ass.
Nailed it, guys. Really, really ending in a bang. No one's going to be mad at you for anything.
I got to say, I love it here. I'm such a fan of you guys. Thanks. Happy to be here.
It's because we don't yell at him directly.
Just search me out and find things.
Jaren's podcast is J Train.
Okay. The J Train podcast. The No Judgment Zone.
The No Judgment
Bring
Zone.
Bring your emails.
So J is not for judge.
No.
And of course, you're on the new You Up.
The You Up podcast. That's a fun one with Betches.
That's big. And you were on our first few My Opening Lines.
That was a fun one.
Such a good one. And no joke, there was a moment in there where you actually understood a little bit more of your privilege that I've been telling people about.
Oh, good.
Because you went to an open mic where they didn't accept you.
Yes.
And you were floored because you're usually the one accepted.
It was the biggest turnaround. It was like out of a movie.
It was fun. I was like, and that's why, look, you said some ignorant shit earlier in the podcast, and some people got mad at you, I'm sure. And the thing is—
Did they get mad?
They were livid, yes.
Livid.
But
sorry to ruin your Sunday.
Palm
Sunday.
I like having these conversations with you because I do believe we take nuggets from each other.
Sure.
I do believe that we're all in different places in our ignorance and in our intelligence and in our collection of information that's coming at us in rapid fire.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're willing to listen. You might not have like the same opinions as us, but I enjoy coming on your show. I think like if you want great advice, really, Jared. These letters that you get, and I remember this one, okay, just super quick, this one guest that you had was just naysaying these letters, and you're so sweet to the people writing into you. They write about crazy shit, let's say, that other people would find crazy. You find the compassion, and you find, and even stuff like, you know, I don't really fully understand this, but here's what it looks like for me. And this one guest, so funny, he was like, the fuck is wrong with people? Fuck this guy. And you're like, let's say if we had to look at it from their perspective, it was the Dreamcast. It was just before, like one or two before we came on. You guys look for it.
All I'm saying is that everyone's problems are their own. And let's try and help them out.
Try to help them out. And you know what? Kind of is right. Have the sunsets in there.
Yeah.
In fact, you get out of there.
Yeah. Tag me.
Of course. That's the real reason we're all there.
Tag us in all your sunsets.
Yes, please.
All right. Thank you guys very, very much. We'll talk to you soon.